The book of Revelation has been shrouded in mystery since its inception. Just like with the Messiah's first coming, his second coming has been veiled to hide his plans from those who would try to stop him. Chief among these dissenters is the Antichrist, who our guest today refers to as the final Nephilim. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Skywatch Television. Now, for those just joining us at home, ladies and gentlemen, people in the studio, we are concluding the final installation, for the moment, of what has been a series of programs on the book, The Final Nephilim. And I'm going to introduce the author right now. He's a biblical researcher and writer with an emphasis in ancient Hebrew thought and theology. He received his Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from the University of Rochester and his JD from Columbia University Law School, Ryan Peterson. And I'm really sad to see it come to an end, but don't all good things have to stop at some point? That's why you've got to get a copy of The Final Nephilim, because what concludes these television programs should be just the beginning of you taking advantage of your opportunity to get your own copy and to start working through this book. If you missed last week and the weeks before, go back. We've talked about everything from what a Nephilim is, for those joining the program that may not know, why the focus on a book talking about the Nephilim, and how the Antichrist may be Nephilim, as described in the book, The Final Nephilim by Ryan Peterson, and why, of course, all of this matters in the year 2022. If you're a teacher, a person who teaches Bible prophecy, or just a civilian happening upon our channel organically that's never even heard of the word Nephilim. And I think this book goes a long way to explain the climate that we're living in right now, socioeconomically, politically. When you look at the climate of the world, the governments of the world, so many of the draconian pushes to control societies, and how out of chaos, the perfect stage for the arrival of Antichrist will be formed. Before we run out of time, though, Ryan, because it's always a challenge to get everything in these programs, I want to start with your chapter titled The Second Exodus. And I want to ask you, what connections do you see between the Exodus and the end times, and how does the Exodus foreshadow the final confrontation between Christ and the Antichrist?
One of the main themes of the final Nephilim is this idea of foreshadows, that God is using Old Testament events to teach us what is going to happen in the end times. And the Exodus is one of the most glaring foreshadows of the end times. And what I bring out is that you see the Antichrist is foreshadowed by Pharaoh. He was a persecutor who was trying to rule over Israel, similar to what Pharaoh did ruling over Israel. And then when you look at the supernatural punishments, the plagues of the Exodus, they mirror what we see in Revelation against the Antichrist kingdom. We see a plague of water turning to blood. That takes place during the vial judgments. There's darkness that comes from the abyss that blackens out the sun. Again, we see that during the Exodus. There are boils that come on the skin of those who take the mark of the beast. A similar punishment took place during the Exodus. And then even if you look at some of the protection provided to Israel, we see there's a prophecy in Ezekiel where God prophesies that during the Great Tribulation, he will lead the believing remnant of Israel into Edom, into the wilderness, to be protected. And we see this in Revelation 12, where the woman flees to the wilderness and is comforted for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. Well, interestingly, even when you look at that duration, that the Antichrist will be persecuting the world for 42 months while Israel's protected. Well, when Israel was in the wilderness the first time, they went to 42 different locations that are listed in Scripture before entering the Promised Land, which, of course, they will have 42 months before Jesus Christ, who was foreshadowed by Moses, leads them back to Israel and into the millennial kingdom.
Wow. You mentioned different angels that are introduced in the Great Tribulation, like the angel of the waters in Revelation 16:5. Can you explain the significance of this angel?
Sure. So again, after the waters of the world are turned to blood, you know, a horrific judgment of the Great Tribulation, you see that this angel, first of all, we see this is where the righteous angels are finally being highlighted in the book of Revelation. And we see there's an angel who's in charge of the waters, the seas and rivers of the earth. And this angel proclaims that God's judgment is righteous. And I think that's really significant because there are so many, you know, frankly, frightening judgments we see in Revelation. But yet it's just. God is a just judge because this is the patience of God. When we think, where is God with all the destruction that's taken place in the world and the sin and evil,
yeah.
God is finally correcting things and making things right.
There's another part of that prophecy, too, about these four angels that are bound at the River Euphrates. Do you have any theories about that, who these angels are or why they're there?
Sure. I do. So I spoke in our earlier episode about the fifth trumpet.
Right.
Between 150 days and the days of Noah and the end times. While at the sixth trumpet, I believe we see an allusion to the days of Lot. We're told that these four angels that are bound in the River Euphrates are released for a year, a month, a day, and an hour, which again on the Hebrew calendar takes us to 392 days. So what's the significance of this number 392? Well, again, when you go to the Old Testament chronology and go from the days of the flood until the day that God, Jesus, I believe, approached Abraham to tell him he was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, it's 392 years. So a year for a day, which God says in Ezekiel is a way that he will sometimes carry out a punishment, one day for 1 year. So,
and there's no way that's just coincidence.
Yeah.
Like when you see the Bible, how it is, there's no way that these days match in the exact context in that way. That's just, praise the Lord for that. That's astonishing.
Amen. The Bible, it's absolutely amazing. And it gives us that confidence to know that the word of God is true. When you see these connections, I think it just opens up our faith in the word.
Now, something you did with your book, and I didn't go over this a lot last week, but I'm going to hit it this week. Something you did in the final Nephilim. I've had a lot of fun talking about how I've stolen this idea. But something you did that we thought was very cool, and when I say we, I mean Drew. And then he brings me this idea, right? But I'm going to take credit for it. I just, for the record, this, we'll just say it was my idea.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
Right, yeah, unless it doesn't work. Then it's on Ryan's idea, and it was Drew's fault I did it.
Yeah.
No, okay. You did something, I'm still marveling at this, but you did something in your book, Ryan, with QR codes. And people watching our program, they may have noticed over the last few weeks on their screen, there's a little QR code that pops up now when we're displaying our special offer of the week. And ladies and gentlemen, when you take your phone, you should be able to aim it right at your screen, and your phone will use its photo app to identify the QR code and immediately bring up a hyperlink that will take you right to the skywatchtvstore.com directly to that offer, which gets you around having to write down a special note or try to make a note later or post it or, you know, text yourself, don't forget the special offer, then go to the website and type in the name of the product and try to find it. This is a very quick one-step way to get right to access to that special offer. But yeah. This is also something that you've done in your book. So as people are flipping through the book, maybe they're taking notes, they're researching, you also have these QR codes in the book that take them immediately to special video content, supplemental research, more access to things that maybe didn't make it into the book that allow you to expound for a minute in video format. Why did you do that?
I just thought it was essential to share this word in as many forms as possible. And I'm praise God that we're all sharing in this idea now, because I think it's going to be more effective. We're living in a video age.
Yes.
And so providing bonus video commentary, I thought, would just be another way to reach people. And again, you know, I really have a heart for our youth, for our teens, for our young adults. You know, I put a section in that's completely bonus content, not included in the book, really targeted at the youth, because there are many books, movies, TV shows about the Nephilim, about angels, Genesis 6 that reference the Bible, but distorting it. There's even a series that says a Nephilim giant is the Messiah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, and you're doing that because you're driven to get the hope of the Christ out to as many people that will consume it in as many types of media as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad and I often feel like, you know, we're losing a generation. We really are, as the church. If you clump Skywatch in with the church, we've had emails of people, you know, we've long since stopped attending a physical building. Skywatch has become our church. We Sunday mornings and we watch whatever that week's program was. So we feel very privileged to be able to offer Skywatch as a platform for people that we feel have been called by God, like you, Ryan, who have an urgent message that is needed for today, and to put it into a cool QR code. I mean, I feel hip just sitting here talking to you about the QR code, but to give access, because like you said, I can imagine that.
Yeah.
You're a parent, you've tried to talk with your teenager about something like a Nephilim, and it's really the old man's club or the old woman's club. It's for grandpa, it's for dad. But clicking a QR code and showing them a video that looks hip, and by the way, production values, This was one of the first things that Drew and I noticed. Your videos have been done really well, man. Really clean audio, good backdrops, good cameras, which is something we always notice.
Yeah.
It's a huge step above something you might just find on the interwebs, if that makes any sense. Really high production values.
Yeah, and see, when you look at everything Ryan does, and I mentioned this to you before the program, but everything from the cover to the bonus content he does to his documentaries and his QR codes, the presentation of all those things in there, you could tell that it all stems from a passion from the Lord. Yeah. He said that he's even doing some of the graphics for the documentary.
Correct.
And learning it. And I know that because I've seen it before. And it's a passion for the Lord. So he doesn't care if he doesn't have all the pieces. He's going to learn them and find them and make it work.
Right.
And that's what comes through in this book, is just a passion for somebody who loves this stuff, who you have a full-time job. You don't need to be doing this, but it's your passion. And it really shines through. And I love that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, both of you make great points. You know, there's a need to address the spiritual realm. You know, yes. There are people out there who are looking everywhere else but the Bible for the answers. My wife was saved out of the New Age.
Oh, wow.
And many of our first conversations were about topics like this, when she asked about, well, what about the flood? What about fallen angels? What about demons? It's understanding the Bible from this perspective that helped her salvation. So, and that of many others. So that's why I really, you know, like you said, Drew, I have that passion to really get this word out there in whatever format people need it. We need to provide it.
Yeah, and Josh has a similar story with the New Age.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pulled right out of it.
Yeah, I wrote a book about it too, Second Coming of the New Age, me and Steve Vancars. But yeah, I was in New Age heavily too, and I was saved out of it from stuff like this. And specifically, L.A. Marzulli, Tom
And you
Horn.
Were way in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Until you were way in over your head. And that's a totally other program. But no, maybe just a snapshot for the viewer that's now interested.
Well, yeah.
Like seriously way in over your head.
This is why it's important to know this stuff. And we talked about this a little last week, but it's important to know because I didn't know what I was messing with, and we got demon attacks like you wouldn't believe. And I don't normally talk about that kind of stuff or like bring that stuff up, but I mean, it was pretty intense. We wrote about it all in the book, but that was the point where I realized, you know, this stuff is actually real and it's evil and I need to repent.
Like a paranormal nightmare for real.
Yeah. So that was the time I dedicated my life to Christ, and here we are.
Praise the Lord. Well,
praise the Lord.
And I do think it's so important too, because for me as being a mom, I don't always understand the importance of this kind of a conversation. But with being in Skywatch and everything, I know that it is important. So this has been actually really incredible for me, just because it's like, okay, a lot more of this actually makes more sense now, and why it's so important for mothers. You have to be your gatekeeper for your kids.
Right.
You know, that's so, so important. So knowing about why the Nephilim are so important, you need to know why. And this is why we have people like Ryan here, and I'm so glad that you came.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a very thorough work, ladies and gentlemen. The Final Nephilim. And we're going to show you how you can get a copy of this book along with some other teaching materials and some DVDs that were cut custom for this special offer. We'll be right back.
The book of Genesis prophesied that the Messiah would be born of the seed of the woman. But Genesis also predicted another seed would arrive on earth. And he is the Final Nephilim. Skywatch TV is proud to present the Final Nephilim Skywatch exclusive. When you order Ryan Peterson's new book, The Final Nephilim, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the never-before-seen exclusive DVD content, Quantum Prophecy, starring Ryan Peterson and Josh Peck, and The Assyrian, a video expose of an ancient evil. In the new groundbreaking book, The Final Nephilim, author and researcher Ryan Peterson details how, while many have portrayed the Antichrist to be a charismatic military genius, he will actually be something far more sinister. He is the Final Nephilim, a fallen angelic human hybrid who will use occult power to lure most of the world into the greatest deception in human history. Through his revelatory research, Ryan Peterson answers questions such as, will the fallen angels once again attempt to mingle themselves with the seed of men? Who or what is the Antichrist, and does he have a supernatural origin? What is the connection between quantum physics and the biblical symbolism of the scroll? What role do UFOs and alien phenomena play in end-time events? And how do Jesus' warnings about the days of Noah decipher the prophecies of Revelation? You'll also receive the never-before-released interview, Quantum Prophecy, on DVD, where Skywatch TV's own Josh Peck sits down with Ryan Peterson to speak about quantum physics as it relates to biblically prophetic topics, such as the Mark of the Beast, ancient antichrists, and angels. And as an added bonus, Quantum Prophecy also includes four of the absolute best episodes of Josh Peck's popular television show, Into the Multiverse, entitled Untangling Quantum Entanglement, Quantum Tunneling, The Strangeness of Quantum Fields, and The Real Science and Fake Religion of Quantum Biology. But that's not all. We're also including the never-before-seen content on DVD entitled The Assyrian, where Ryan Peterson goes into detail about an ancient evil who once walked on the earth and is set to return from the abyss to enter human flesh once again and to continue his reign of terror. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So prepare for a study in Revelation that travels through time and space to decipher the most mysterious prophecies of the apocalypse. This collection is only available through Skywatch TV, so don't delay. The Final Nephilim Skywatch exclusive, available now at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Artis Horn. We wrap up what has been a fascinating series on the new book by Ryan Peterson, The Final Nephilim. If you missed last week, go back to the archives. Make sure you check out the full series. Ryan, we've spent some weeks talking about the arrival of Antichrist. We've addressed the questions, what is a Nephilim, why it is important, the days we're living in 2022, and why churches really ought to take a look, in my view, at books like this as a teaching material that will help them unpack to their congregations the importance of something like the Nephilim, as it was in the days of Noah, Matthew 24, and how this might all be playing out now in our current global systems and so forth. I want to get back into the book, though, because we're running out of time like we always are. There's a great deal of destruction and death that takes place during the seal and the vial judgments. How can we explain God's actions here to a non-believer or a new Christian? Sometimes when you see God's judgments taking place throughout the Bible, we've all experienced this. Mm-hmm. Somebody will say something like, well, if God was real, babies wouldn't suffer, or if God was real, he wouldn't have blown this particular group of people to smithereens. Or there's always these very easy, if God were real, counter arguments. How do you deal with God's actions in the book? How do you explain that to a non-believer?
By turning the mirror back on ourselves as humanity, as a human race. You know, just look in the last just 200 years, not even going back to the beginning of civilization, the hundreds of millions of people who've died in war, from murder, the massive violence. You know, you think of, even in modern times, abortion, the millions of unborn babies who have been killed. You know, the sin of humanity has risen to such a point. What we see in Revelation is the answer to the question, well, where is God?
Right.
And the truth is, God is here, but once he makes his presence manifest, sin must be judged, and we have to be held accountable. And God is doing this to prepare a better world. And that we have to deliver. It's not just the judgment. It's getting this world judged and reconciling the whole planet so that we can have a new kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth that has no death, no evil, no wickedness, has peace, harmony, war is gone away. Oh. That's the preparation. So Revelation is God's final step to bring us to where he wants us to be.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And along that same vein, when you look at the dictators throughout history, Lenin, Stalin, all the way back Hitler, these were all atheist men whose death tolls in the tens of millions. So people will say, oh, religion has caused so many deaths, more deaths than anything. Wrong. Atheism has.
Yeah.
You know, the numbers are up there. So when you flip the mirror back on us, that's what it shows.
Yeah.
And think about this, too. I mean, if anybody hurt your child, you would want to destroy him, right?
Instant justice.
How has the world treated God's children?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that explains a lot of Revelation
like
as well.
The vineyard parable, he sent his men, and they beat him and sent him back, and then eventually they killed his own son.
Yep, exactly.
You have a chapter in your book called David versus Goliath, Battle for Heaven and Earth. Can you walk us through the meaning of that and its prophetic significance, especially in this year that we're living in now?
Right. Well, I see in that chapter the duel to the death of David and Goliath. It's truly a foreshadow of Armageddon. You have David, of course, who was the prophesied ancestor of Jesus, of the Messiah. Jesus is called the Son of David, at war, battling against a Nephilim, a hybrid. And look at the stakes. Goliath said, if I defeat you, I will make Israel all my slaves. So again, the Antichrist's goal is to take over Israel, to deceive and destroy Israel, to prevent the second coming of Christ. So I truly see it as one of these prophecies that ripple through time, that is a repetition of the end times when Jesus Christ will battle against and defeat the final Nephilim, the Antichrist.
What are some more similarities between Goliath and the Antichrist?
Sure. So again, in addition to him being a hybrid, when you look at some of the details about Goliath, you see that he was 6 cubits in a span. His spearhead weighed 60 talents, and he carried 6 pieces of armor. So wow. Even again, in the Bible's details about him, we see an allusion to 666, the wow. number of Antichrist. So again, wow. I believe the Bible is showing us that this is a foreshadow of Armageddon. Wow.
What do you say to those who ask, and I think this is a common question, do we really need to put all of this emphasis on end times prophecy? And we kind of touched on this a couple of weeks ago. Look, if you work at Skywatch, you get the emails, you know. Derek, you get the emails. You've seen the hate, as it were, from people that would self-identify as believers, that what we're doing here is very silly. We talk about things like fallen angels, and let's be serious, guys. We've got at least another 100 years. The world's not ready at all to unite under a global super leader. I mean, you guys are really reaching, right? This is just silly. Let's be mature and get past all this silly prophecy stuff. No, I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. I'm just sharing, you know. We also get a ton of good feedback. You know, thank you. Finally, there's books that are relevant to what we're doing here as a ministry, and you've given me tools. So we see both sides. But the part of it that surprises me is the part of it where you're dealing with people that would be self-identified as believers, thinking that we're kind of spending too much time on Bible prophecy. So let me ask, do you believe, and I'm not going to bait the answer, but do you believe this is a distraction from the most important parts of the Bible and the Christian faith, this idea that we're being trivial to spend time on Bible prophecy?
Not at all. And I think it's the most important thing we can focus on. God wants us to look at prophecy. In Isaiah 46, God rests his name as being the creator God of gods on his word, his prophetic word. He says that he's declared the end from the beginning. And so the last 2 years, if they've shown us anything, is how quickly our society can be turned upside down, how quickly we can be crippled,
Absolutely.
How quickly we can submit to a system we never even imagined just weeks earlier. We never thought that
right.
would do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was just a small preview of what's going to take place in the Great Tribulation,
right.
we see clearly stated in the book of Revelation. So
right.
now more than ever, it becomes more obvious and urgent as to why we need to share prophecy, and not only as a witness of the gospel, but keep Christians focused on what matters, our eternal destiny, the heavenly benefits, the heavenly rewards, and sharing that so others who are unsaved, we need to bring as many people on the ark as possible before the flood begins.
Right,
exactly.
So,
yes.
2 Peter 2 and 3, it talks about the importance of prophecy and even criticizes those who don't pay attention to it. You know, they don't have the light, they're not seeing, and they're going to be destroyed because of it. During that time, they were talking about the destruction of the temple. But we're in the same position today. If there is an apostasy, and there is at the end of these ages that we've talked about in other shows, it's a whole other conversation. But if there's these apostasies that hit every age, you got the Tower of Babel, you got the destruction of the temple and that whole situation, and then probably what we're living in today, we would want to know that so we can stay out of the apostasy and not fall with the rest of the fold. That's what 2 Peter 2 and 3 is all about.
When you don't have the interpretation of the Nephilim as it pertains to Genesis 6, then when we are looking at Matthew 24 and we're saying, oh, as it was in the days of Noah, well, what was it like in the days of Noah? Then what I see a lot of people do is they go to this scripture where it says men's hearts were only evil all the time.
Yeah.
And so then what I've seen people do, look at humanity. Are there still some good people out there? Yes, there are. Okay, we're nowhere near. We're good.
That's right.
You know, and so it makes all the difference in how prepared we are, because this is going to slap us in the face
right. mm-hmm.
if we're putting our hope in the idea that there are some good people out there, so we're fine.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Amen.
And one thing I wanted to touch on was with when you have this Antichrist returning and even the two witnesses and you have them calling down fire from heaven and you have the Antichrist and the false prophet doing these miracles. You said he's known by the miracles. One thing that I wanted to ask you about, Josh, is your presentation for the unveiling, our conference coming up, you mentioned a theory, and some of your other work mentioned it too, as to how these magical or seemingly magical things are able to come back.
Yeah.
What can you say to that?
Yeah, I think this has to do with the restrainer. So in Lost Prophecies of Qumran, I wrote all about this. I'll try to go through it quick with a couple minutes on the clock. But
the whole book. Just the
whole book. So basically in the Old Testament, you see all these magic stuff, you know. I mean, the common thing to go to is Pharaoh's magicians. It doesn't say that they made it look like through sleight of hand that they performed miracles. They actually right. did these things. Right. Now, they weren't able to go all the way like God was, but they still were able to go a lot farther than we can today. I think the reason is because of something that's called the restrainer in prophecy. So when you have the view of what the ancient Essenes would have viewed ages as, 2,000-year periods, at the destruction of the temple right around there, there was a switch from the age of Torah to the age of grace. And one of the attributes of the age of grace is something called the restrainer. There's been a lot of debate on what that is, but Paul says when that's removed, the Antichrist will be revealed. Mm-hmm. So I think that whatever the restrainer is, you can even see this in church history. I mean, the first 300 years when church was starting out, there's these records of Christians going, like, just not even praying or anything, just going, just being present at an oracle, and the oracle couldn't talk to the false god anymore.
Wow.
And amazing accounts. Wow. So I think that kind of thing is going to happen again. There's something about the Holy Spirit in Christians out in the world that restrain the kingdom of darkness.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
When the restrainer is removed, though, absolute
That's
chaos.
Right.
Yes. The enemy's got full reign.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. It's a great note to end all of this on, because we have this power.
Mm-hmm.
It's accessible to us.
Yeah.
And it's by submitting to God's will and letting him work in our life. And, you know, the things that we look around and we think all these terrible things are coming, we can see that delayed.
Yeah.
And we can see that restraining force hold all of this
Amen.
Away if we will do what we are called to do as Christians.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. Well, Ryan, with just about a minute left on the clock, let me ask you if you would share with our audience and those at home watching via their televisions a final thought about your book, The Final Nephilim, and if you would, maybe mention something, you know, in terms of any new projects that you have coming, anything you want to reveal here at Skywatch that you're working on now, unless you're not ready, but I'm giving you the opportunity.
Well, thank you, first of all, to everyone for this opportunity. This has been an amazing, amazing blessing, and the real message of The Final Nephilim is our hope. It's blessed
yes.
hope that God, and when God says he's told us the end from the beginning, the end is Jesus wins.
That's it.
That we win. We are more than conquerors in Christ. So spoiler alert for the demonic realm. So, you know, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. So I want it to be an encouragement that we
right.
should trust our Heavenly Father, that
right.
he's going to deliver us. So yes, that's the main message. And I hope that people can take that and share it with others. To especially
yes.
those who are lost, especially those who are in the new age, especially those who need Jesus. And as far as new projects, I do have the two documentaries Drew mentioned earlier, but based on both of my books, Judgment
right.
Nephilim and The Final Nephilim, I'll be heading back to get in the studio to work on the audiobook of The Final Nephilim. I've been asked about
awesome.
That many,
oh, great,
many times.
Great.
And I will, in terms of a preview of a totally new project, I'm considering potentially doing a book exploring the era before Adam, the gap
okay.
theory,
okay.
what
wow.
took place when Satan's fall, and all the
wow.
things that led to Genesis 1,
right.
verse 2.
I have a feeling this won't be Ryan's last time on
yes.
Skywatch. Unfortunately, we're all out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time for Ryan Peterson.
Thank you.
What a guy. What a great job. Thank you. Unfortunately, we're out of time. For everybody here in the studio, for everybody on panel, Ryan, thanks again for being here. I'm Joe Artis Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.